Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles before you're seated, if you would grab them this morning, go with me to the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel, excuse me, chapter 6 this morning. And I want to start reading from verse 13 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. When you're there, say amen. Amen. How many is ready for the word this morning? Amen. The word is what changes us. Amen. And I love the word. I love the word. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says, "And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded up with linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sounds of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today.'" She's saying this in a very mocking way here. "Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, 'It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord.'" In verse 22, it says this, "And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will base in mine own sight and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of. Of them shall I be had in honor." In verse 23, "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children until the day of her death." Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord here today. You know, the thing that I want to share with you, and matter of fact, I want to give you a very interesting title this morning. Very interesting title that I want to bring about is simply the question is asking, will you dance or will you die? Will you dance or will you die? And I begin to see this and I begin to think how God's people are some of the most criticized people on the planet. And I'll even take it a step further and say, and God's people can also be some of the most critical people on the planet. I got a bigger amen on the second one than I did the first one. You know, the last time that I checked, that being a Christ follower, a Christian, was still not the most popular thing that was going on. It was still not the most popular group out there. That not everybody wanted to join the group and be a Christ follower. So what I'm saying is sometimes Christ followers, Christian people, just can't win sometimes. And everything in life has a critic about them. Everything. You find it. I was watching the NBA draft the other day. And I was watching this, man, I'm seeing college players on the first round, the second round draft, and they got the chance of a lifetime. Their family, man, they were crying with them, and they were so emotional that they got the opportunity to play NBA, to make a difference in their life. But you want to know what the media wanted to do? They wanted to criticize, and they wanted to pick out all the ones that went on the first round, and they wanted to break them down, and they wanted to look who was the best dressed and who was the worst dressed. And I was thinking to myself, what does it matter. Their NBA players are making more than me and you both combined now. It doesn't matter what they're wearing anymore. And so the thing I got to be looking at is everything. Man, you name it, it's got a critic. Everybody wants to be a critic. If you win an Oscar, they're going to applaud you, but the very next day, they're going to criticize what you wore. They're going to criticize your speech. You win a Grammy, they're going to applaud you for that moment, but then they're going to criticize you the very next day about what you said and how you looked up on the stage. And so everybody gets criticized, and you will be more often be put down rather than be built up in this world that we're living today. So what makes all the difference is this. How do we handle your fault finders in the world that we live in? How do you handle your fault finders? How do you handle your critics? How do you handle their comments? How do you handle it? What do you say back to them? How do you react back to them? See, when the critics come, when those who don't agree with you continue to bombard you with negative statements, the question is this. Put that slide back up there again. Will you dance or will you die? Will you dance or will you die? And see, when I think of this, I look back at the story. David had to deal with this. David had to deal with critics. As a matter of fact, almost every chapter of the Bible that he was spoken of, he managed to somehow get past it, but he was criticized. You take David from when he was a small child, and he was getting ready to be anointed. His daddy didn't even want him to come up forward. His daddy wanted him to stay out in the field. His daddy criticized him and said, hey, here's the good kings. You don't want the little runt David as to be a king. No, you don't want to anoint him. And so he was criticized. When David went out to fight Goliath, he was criticized. His brothers criticized him. His brother said, what are you doing here? You little weakling, you're not one of us. Even Goliath himself criticized him and laughed and mocked him. As David approached him, he said, you come at me with this little runt here. How dare you insult me? And throughout David's life, he was criticized many times. Saul criticized him for many years. And then we find he was criticized again by his own wife, Michal. Michal, Michael, tomato, tomato, pecan, and pecan. Take your pick. Some preachers say Michael, I say Michal. But he was also criticized by his own wife. So no wonder that God invited him to be the king of Israel, because he managed reproach with a cool, calm attitude. And I like how he handled this situation. To take a look with me at this event that I read to you about. The time this event has taken place is one of the greatest joys of the nation of Israel. The reason why David was dancing before the Lord is something spectacular was happening at this time to the nation. The enemy had been conquered. The anointed king was on the throne. And now, watch this, the ark of God was coming back home. Whoa! Man, the ark of God had been stored in Obed-Edom's house for months. And now it's coming back home to the place where it belonged. And so word was going around the nation that the ark of God is going to be with us. The ark of God is coming back to our nation. The ark of God. And I can hear people. I can hear the whispers all in the town. The ark is coming home. The ark is coming home. Momentum was building. Have you heard the greatest news? The ark is coming home. It because the people knew that when they get the ark of God back into their city, back into their nation, They knew that God was going to be there himself. They knew that it was the protection of God. It was the mercy of God. It was the grace of God. They knew that it was the power of God. It itself was going to be in their nation. They knew miracles could happen. They knew healings could happen. They knew that the enemy would not be able to come in and try and defeat them anymore. Why? Because, man, the very presence of God was going to be coming back with us. And so, man, they were excited. They were all pumped about this. And you can hear the whispers, and everyone is celebrating almost except for one. Except for one individual. And finally, as the ark enters the gates of Jerusalem, the crowd begins to get louder in their chant. I mean, I want you to picture this and get a hold of this. The ark. The ark is coming home. Have you heard the news, Dorothy? The ark, the presence of God is coming back. Archie, did you hear? I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you or not, but the ark is coming back home. It's going to be a great thing. Man, what a great day it is for our nation. And David was the same way. David was just excited as anybody else was. David was pumped as anybody else was that this is going to be a great day. What if I told you next Sunday the very presence of God was going to be here? What if I told you next Sunday that the very presence of God was going to be moving in this place? And miracles and signs and wonders will follow them if you simply come into the house and you believe and you worship God, that the very presence of God was going to move in whatever need you may have in your life, that it could be met next Sunday. I'll tell you what would happen. You would begin to call up everybody that you know. You would put it on Facebook. You would be putting it on Instagram and every other social media event. You would put everything together and you would be inviting everybody that you knew to tell them, hey, that the presence of God is going to be here next Sunday. But can I tell you something? That every Sunday we come together and we begin to worship and lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. Men in the foyer, would you do me a favor? Would y'all grab the doors? Men in the foyer, quit just looking at me. Would y'all grab the doors? Would y'all grab the doors? One on both sides, one on each side. And when I count to three, hold on. When I count to three, I just want you to open up the doors, okay? So here's what happens. When you begin to worship every Sunday, you come into the house. What your worship does is one, two, three. What your worship does, it begins to open up the door. And the presence of God is able to move in the house and able to meet the needs of wherever. And your life is able to be changed. Sickness is able to be healed. Thank you, gentlemen. Sickness is able to be healed. Miracles are able to take place in your life. But you see, there must be something about it. There must be an ushering. There must be a worship. There must be an invite about your life and the presence of God. There must be an invite with your worship that asks for him to come and to move in the lives and the hearts of the people. And so what I want you to understand is, it's the ark, man. The ark was coming home. The presence was coming in. And everybody was whispering and everybody was telling each other how exciting this is and how wonderful this is. And the glory is about to fill the city once more. Why? Because the ark of God, the presence of God, is coming home. And David is seen through the gates. David comes in leaping and dancing and full of joy. I wonder about y'all sometimes. He's worthy. Come on, somebody, praise God. And I worry about about some of y'all sometimes. Well, David, listen, David come in and David was dancing and David was shouting and David was leaping and David was praising God. And at first the people were shocked to see their king doing these things. But what happened was later the crowd began to follow his example. And David is dancing in the midst of the crowd. The ark is coming home. And David was ecstatic about the movement of the ark. And the crescendo is louder and louder. And everyone is watching with happiness that everyone was excited about for one lady who was watching out the upper room window, shaking her head in disgust at what she's seeing. David's wife, by the name of Michal, is not happy at all. The daughter of Saul, she has an attitude problem. Everybody say an attitude problem. You ever met a Christian with an attitude problem? Don't point. Do not point. This is not the time. She had an attitude problem about royalty. She thinks emotional display is reserved for lower class citizens. She feels that dancing and leaping is beyond the means of royalty. That David should calm down and cut out the display in front of his servants. And David is beside himself. And the ark is coming home. The ark is coming home. He can't control himself. I don't know what David was doing. I don't know, David. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. The Bible doesn't literally tell us this is what David, but it says he was leaping and dancing and full of joy and had excitement about him. And his wife looked and was disgusted. And David was so pumped, he can't control himself. Listen, David couldn't stop. Man, have you ever been so excited about something, so pumped about something? You couldn't smack the grin off of your face. I mean, you were so full of joy. And furthermore, David does not want to stop. He's excited. He must be displaying this in worship because other people begin to watch him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, people watch your worship. I'll say it again. People watch your worship. And it's contagious. So one of two things are going to happen. They're going to follow your lead and they're going to worship because you're worshiping, or they're going to criticize you for your worship. One of two things are going to happen. So something about the things of God that I begin to think, there's some things about the things of God that should always thrill us. As Christ followers, as Christian people, we need to understand that God is great. And when he displays his love to us, we should be excited. Yeah! But you still have some Michals looking out the window. You still got some of those that say, there's a place for that, and this is not it. There's a place for acting that way, and this is not the time. Listen, there are plenty of things today in the world that we're living in that can zap our spiritual energy. There's a lot of things that you can read about and look at and watch that can zap your spiritual energy like that. Not only do we have the normal struggles that are a part of life, but we have the various situations that happen when we least expect them. And David danced because his weeping was turned into joy. He was pleased at the fact that the ark, the very presence of God, was coming back home. And David danced to honor God. God. His worship was from his heart because God had done a good thing and God had been good to Israel. David danced because of his heart was overjoyed with the things of God. David knew that he was in the position of a king because God had chosen him. So he danced. He danced out of excitement. David danced because life was good and God was home. He danced. With God home, things could begin to be normal again. The common place where everyone came to worship. So David danced again. The temple was a place where you could come and worship and come and pray again. And I'm here today to tell you for a few minutes and to provide a sense of encouragement to someone that life will always attempt to get you down. And there's always going to be people, life, events that are going to try to stop you from dancing and pull the joy away from your life. And it's at those times you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make a decision. There are always those out there that in here who look for the opportunity to steal your joy and to rob you of your excitement. I've had people tell me before, I've had people tell me on Monday mornings, I've had people say, I almost just got out during the worship and just started walking and thanking him and just started praising. I almost did it. And I say, well, why didn't you? And their reply is always this. Well, I just didn't know what they were going to think about me. You're either going to dance or you're going to die. You're either going to dance with excitement about the things of God and be excited and let God move in your life, or you're going to allow the critics and the enemy and the people around you to destroy the joy that God has given to you, and you're going to die of any excitement. Folks, we've got to understand something this morning. The Pharisees were very good at robbing people's joy. Pharisees were very good at tearing people away. And I want to say that this morning that the Pharisees, unfortunately, the spirit of Pharisees have also entered into the church. The Pharisees have entered into a church, the spirit. And when I talk about dancing, listen, this is going to make some of you feel better this morning. It's not just the physical dance that I'm referring to, but the overall attempt to worship God merely out of joy and excitement. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about getting your groove on ever. Listen, I know you white people. You ain't got no soul about you. We know that. But I'm talking about the excitement of God. I'm talking about having the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about coming into the presence of God. As David said, I was glad when they said unto me, they may criticize me, but I was glad because this is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. You can't get that grin off of my face because I'm in the presence of a king today. Folks, we need to view about how we walk into the church house. We need to look at ourselves. You need to stop by the mirror every now and then before you walk in here and just look. You need to remind yourself, either I'm going to dance with excitement and I'm going to be overjoyed in my life, or I'm going to die. What's it going to be, church? If there's anything the enemy of life would like to take from us, it is your joy. If there's anything the enemy of life wants to take, it is your excitement that can happen to the child of God. It's easy to get caught up in the mundane. It's easy to get caught up in the normal, the ordinary, the same old, same lifestyle where joy is gone, where thrill is zapped, where excitement is no longer available. This is the status quo. Many of us, listen,
would that the enemy would want for many of us. For you just to come in here, have no excitement about your worship, no passion about your praise. Just come in here and do the routine thing. Up, down, shake hands, give money, up, down, bow your head, pray, shake hands, go the car. See, I got this thing memorized. That's what the enemy wants for you, and you never get anything out of it. Are you hearing me today? This preached a lot better last night in my house. The enemy wants you just to come in here and leave the same way you came. But I want to tell you something. Something about David said, you know what? God's been too good to me. And my whole life I've had people criticize me and tell me that I couldn't do this and I can't do that. And now I'm married to a woman that tells me I shouldn't do this. And he walks up to the house and he says, you know, baby, I'm home. And she says, you make me sick. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. But I want to tell you something. In my life, as well as your life, I remember my Savior. I remember He died for me. He gave Himself on a dark Calvary. I remember how He died. I remember how He bowed His head and cried, "It is finished." I remember about Calvary. And because of this, I get excited about the things of God. Dancing with excitement and joy. Listen, it will cost you the criticism of others. There will always be deadheads in the church, amen? And they can care less about you or what you're doing. It's just that they aren't going to worship the way that you're worshiping. And so they feel guilty about you worshiping and they're not. And so they're going to criticize you for worshiping. How dare we ever look at somebody and say, well, I don't know why they got to worship that way. I don't know why they feel like they always got to lift their hands. I don't know why they always feel like they got to be loud. You don't know where they come from. You don't know anything about their life. You don't know what God delivered them from. So when they think about where God has brought them and to where they are today, they can't help but get excited about the things of God. And Michal was thinking, Michal, the princess, she represents the old guard who saw the worship as vulgar, as undignified. Her eyes were on others, but David's eyes were on God. And that's the difference of worship. That's the difference of spectating and participating. That's the difference of having your eyes on other people, watching them, criticizing them, or saying, my eyes are only on you this morning, God. And when I think about your goodness and what you've done for me, I can't help but get overwhelmed with joy, sheer joy. And to her, she thought with this, she thought, well, kings don't dance. They don't show emotion. They don't show excitement because of the joy. Listen, she must have thought kings don't dance because her father never danced. Her father, King Saul, never danced. She thought royalty does not do things like David just did. You're right. Saul never danced. He threw spears at innocent people. And so when you think about it that way, he did kill the priest. He did turn his back on God because of sin. What a role model Saul was, huh? Saul's the kind of guy that I want to follow. But David said, I'm nothing like your daddy. I'm nothing like your daddy. My eyes are on God. And David did not dance for the young maids to see him, but to celebrate the victory brought on by the hand of God. David danced because of jealousy. Some people don't like it when you love God more than you love them. But David clearly indicated his love to God. It was greater than his love to his wife. And it created a conflict in his marriage. It caused problems. And the Bible says that Michal had no children until the day she died. And she despised David so much that it affected their relationship. And she became barren until death. Worship has to have intimacy. And without intimacy, nothing can be birthed. What I'm saying, you've got to fall in love with God again. You've got to remember, and you've got to go back to what God's blessed you and how God's blessed you. And look around and see what God has given you. God has loaned to you. You got to go back in your old files and look where God has brought you from to where you are today. And man, when you do that, you can't help but to get excited. So I'm thinking today again is you can either dance or you can die. To you, a Christian, you have to do one or the other. You can't stop because of the criticism and the misunderstanding of feelings of others. You can allow things to hinder you from your heartfelt worship with those things. And if you allow them, you will die. Ever seen people that they say they love God? They attend church every time the doors are open, but there's no heartfelt worship. There's no joy about them. They're critical of other people around them. Let me tell you something. They've already allowed that spirit inside them to be killed. They've already forgot about what God has done for them. They're walking around with an attitude and a Pharisee spirit about them. That thinks that I don't engage in that stuff. Again, you don't have to be somebody that's doing cartwheels, but it's somebody with a heartfelt worship that right where you're at can just lift up a hand and just say, God, you've been good to me. When's the last time you've allowed a tear to stream down your face? When's the last time that you've allowed God to break your spirit as you thought about how good and how wonderful he is? When's the last time that we've allowed God to move in our heart and make our heart pliable again? See, you can dance or you can die. You can dance because he found you, or you can die because you don't get your way. You can dance because he gave you joy, or you can die because you failed to worship. You can dance because there is hope, or you can die because all you see is gloom and doom. The choice is yours, saints. The choice is yours. Worship removes the ego. Worship removes the pride. Worship removes the prestige, the self-power, the sin, the greed, the fear. It gives you such freedom that you can't control yourself. Woo! How you doing today? Well, I don't know if you got time to hear it. You're right, I don't. How are you doing today? I am blessed of the Lord. Let me tell you what God's done. Well, let's sit down. I want to hear all about it. See, you can dance with excitement, have full of joy about the things of God. Or you can die and let everything, spiritual excitement be zapped from you. Dance with for the purpose of giving praise. Dance for the glory of his presence. Dance for the removal of your sin. You can dance for the freedom of guilt. Dance for the relationship that you have with God. Dance for the power of the throne. Dance for the greatness of the Lord. Dance for the truth of the message of God. Dance for the hope of your calling. And dance for the possibility of going to heaven. Man, you've got a hope. You've got a future. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That's enough to get me excited right there. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go and prepare a place for who? For you. And I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You mean I don't have to put up with this all the time? No, there's coming a time that I'm leaving this whole world and I'm going to a place called heaven, and I'm going to be with him and all of you that have loved the Lord and served God. Man, that's something to get excited about this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. That's a reason to get excited. That's a reason to have joy in your life. That's a reason to have a smile on your face. Praise the name of the Lord this morning. I'm closing here today. Folks, I want you to understand a life of a Christian Man, should not be a life that's boring, has no joy about them, no excitement about them. Your worship should have joy. Your worship should be full of excitement. When you, all you got to do is think back how good God's been to me, what God's done for me. Dance for the hope of your calling, saints. Listen, don't worry about others. It's amazing to me that at concerts and sporting events, there's 30,000 plus people. Man, they can get up on their feet and have no clue why and act like a bunch of maniacs and screaming and shouting and leaping and standing in an enclosed stadium who do not even care if they act weird or look crazy or not. They feel like they've got something to shout about. Can I tell you something? We do too. We do too. We've got something to be excited about. God is so good, and I plan to shout about it. I plan to be excited about it this morning. You're saying, well, what if I don't feel like it? Listen, when you think back of where you're at, something in you comes up inside of you and gives you excitement. I left this morning. I told Kim, I said, oh, I may have called Brother Mangrum. I am sick this morning. I am sick. And I was about to call you and say, brother, you're going to have to preach this morning. And she asked me up here. She said, are you okay? See, we've got this sign language, her and I, we do, you know. She's like, are you okay? Because my lip's crooked, it's hard for her to understand my reading back. So, and I'm like, what? She said, are you okay? And I went, yeah. I didn't feel good this morning. I was sick. But I got in my office and I said, this is the day the Lord has made. I receive his healing touch upon my body. I receive his healing touch on my life right now. And I'm going to go preach the unvoidable word of God. And it's going to make a difference in somebody's life and somebody's heart. We've got a reason to be excited. So I'm saying you're going to go through days that you don't feel like being excited. But you know what? Just reach down inside of you and you're going to pull something out that's going to get you excited about the things of God. Listen, God is so good and I plan to shout about it. But if you don't like it, here's what I say. Sorry, because my God picked me up one day and saved my soul and gave me a hope and took my sins away and reserved me a place in glory for me. Stand your feet with me in this auditorium. And if I want to dance, then I'll dance if you like it or not. What am I saying? I know I'm too white to physically dance, but if I want to get excited, if I just want to lift up my hands, then I can do so. Why? Because God has been good to me. Church, I want you to understand that's the kind of church that we are. Hear me? This is the kind of church that we are. When people know they're coming to visit a Pentecostal church, don't let them down by having your joy zapped from you. Don't let them down by having no excitement about you. Don't let them down by sitting there and just looking like you and criticizing everybody else's worship. No, you gotta give them what they want. Give them what they're looking for. Show them, let them know that I'm full of excitement. I'm full of God's joy this morning in my life. We lift up our hands in this church. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, why you lift your hands in your church? They said, I'm Methodist. We don't do that. I said, you ever watch the Westerns? They said, yeah. My daddy watched Westerns all the time. Bill, you watch Westerns. And my daddy would watch a cowboy by the name of Chuck Connors. Y'all know him? Chuck Connors had this gun. And he wouldn't even bat an eye. And he'd just keep walking. And he just cleared out a whole line of them. But when he come up on somebody that didn't have a gun, Mr. Connors, don't shoot. I have no weapons. I have no fight. I'm not going to try anything, sir. I'm yours. Whatever you need to do, whatever you do, just don't kill me. Let me tell you something. The reason why we lift up our hands in the church house is because we're saying, God, I surrender to you. I've got no fight in me. I'm not going to pull any tricks. I've got no excuses. I yield to you, God. You are the only one today, God, and I honor you today. You've got my life. You've got my past. You've got my future. I belong to you. That's why we worship. That's why we praise. Whew. Well, glory. You can either dance or you can die. I worked on a sermon, but I didn't work on a closing. But here's why I feel like doing this morning. How many of you would say, God's been good to me, preacher? God has blessed me. God has been good to me. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I want to give you a chance this morning to express it out of worship. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I know some of you are calm, cool, and collective, and I love you. I wish I could be calm, cool, and collective like you. Some of you are a little rowdy. Some of y'all talk too much. Some of you don't talk enough. Some of you are real reserved. Some of you like to be around people. I get it. But whatever you are, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to say, you know what? Criticize me all you want. I see you up there in that upper window looking at me. Criticize me all you want. But I'm not here for you. I'm here for him. I'm here for him. Come on the count of three this morning. I want you to pull it out of you. 1, 2, 3. Come on, right now, begin to worship him. Right now, begin to praise him. Right now, begin to thank him for what he's done. If he's ever done anything good to you, come on, let him know this morning. Let him know this morning. You can dance.